sing this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for blessing this congregation. Thank you for strengthening all of us. Thank you that your will be done in this service, Lord God. Thank you that you will be glorified. Our lives will give you glory. The things we think about, the things we say, the things we do will give you glory and honor. Thank you that you are the most important thing in our lives. Guys, just agree with me in prayer real fast. Thank you, Father God. We just love you, Lord. Praise him. Just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. Thank you. You are a good God. If you think he's a good God, if you know he's a good God, just go ahead and give him some praise this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There it is. Let's just keep doing it. This is important this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper, Lord Jesus. Oh, man. We serve an amazing Lord, don't we? It is so good to see you guys this morning. I'm thankful for all you guys. I mean that. Well, let me tell you a little story. Last year, this service right here is one of those where you kind of always talk about thankfulness or Thanksgiving or something along those lines. You don't have to, but a lot of times you do anyways. So I know exactly what I preached on this time last year is what I'm trying to say. And I was in my study time last year, and I had a few days to prepare, and I was just having a really, really difficult time, man. And see, the thing about a Thanksgiving service is it can be pretty easy. You know what I mean? I don't mean to bore you with my homework or whatever, but a Thanksgiving service, there's a lot of places you can go to. It doesn't take a lot. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a theologian, maybe, to do a Thanksgiving service. But for whatever reason, last year I was just struggling with it, man. I was like, man, it's not that I didn't know what to talk about. It's just like I wasn't feeling it, man. And I was going through a really, really hard time trying to prepare. And as it got closer to Sunday morning, obviously I was getting more and more stressed out. And so as you get more and more stressed out, imagine this, you know, like you, those of you that have been in higher learning or whatever, you know, you got the big test and you got to pass the big test and you're studying. And there's a little bit of anxiety and stuff attached to that, right? Can I get a witness? Okay, so anyways, I'm like down to the nitty-gritty, and I'm like, man, dude, this should not be this hard, man. You know, we all know these Thanksgiving verses, and the Bible is just chock full of stuff about being thankful. And so because of that anxiety and the clock going tick and all this stuff, I'm praying pretty hard. And so the Lord speaks into my heart, and I get no joy in sharing this with you guys. Raise your hands if you believe the Lord can speak to you. All right, okay, you're in the right place. Good. Okay. So anyways, the Lord talks to my heart, and he says, you know, I just want to share this with you guys. He says, you know why you're having such a hard time, man? Because you're not very thankful. Yeah, yeah, those don't feel good. Those don't feel good. But see, it used to be something that kind of came easy and kind of came natural. But I let some things build up. Some bitterness had come in my life. You know what I mean? And so I was not a very thankful person. So I had to have gave it to the Lord right there. And the Lord is so good and so gracious because he exposed that to me. We dealt with it together. And then there it all was. All these things that should have been a no-brainer just kind of fell into place. You know, he made up the time and all that I'd lost. And I said all that to say that we can love the Lord. You know, we can have a relationship with the Lord, be productive citizens and all that sort of jazz, and still not be very thankful. And when we're not thankful, it really hurts our Christian walk. You know, it really does. It really does. And the Lord kind of took me through that process, you know, because sometimes we really want things to happen and we want things to be easy and we have our hand out and stuff like that. And sometimes, like any loving father, he's like, hey, man, let's deal with this. This is so important. These are one of the things that can really hurt our relationship. The Lord wants us to be a thankful people. Are y'all with me? God is good. So everyone's at Luke 17. We're going to talk about the 10 lepers this morning. The 10 lepers. Y'all know the story. I didn't share it the last couple years, I don't believe. But as I was preparing this sermon and reading the Bible, I read the thing about the lepers again, and it really got exciting. Do you know that when you get into these scriptures that we know back and forth, you know, and sometimes we skip over them because we know these stories so well. Some of these stories, we learned them in Sunday school, or our mom or our daddy told us. And we know them so well that when we get to them in the Bible, like say if you're reading through the Bible, just kind of skim through it. You know, it's like, man, I know this front and back. Let me just read through this. But when we do that, we miss so much. You know, so anyways, it's like when I read the thing about the lepers again, it was like reading it for the first time in a lot of ways. The Lord just began to show me some really, really cool stuff, man, that I've never really focused on before. And you guys probably already know it, but I thought we'd share it together this morning. But think about that when you get into the Word this week, when you get into your Bible study time. You know, when you get to a passage about Jonah and the fish or David and Goliath or whatever, something that, you know, I mean, you could tell it to anybody right now. You know, if someone said, hey, tell me a Bible story, you go, boom, you can tell them all about those things. Just really dig into it and slow down and let the Lord feed you, because I guarantee you he'll show you something new. He'll show you something fresh no matter how many times you've went over that. Amen? Can I get a witness? So that, hopefully, yeah, give the Lord some praise. Hopefully, as we get into this, we're going to get excited, man, because this is an awesome story. So anyways, Luke 17 and verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along, talking about Jesus and his disciples. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Now, right there, that's where the Lord kind of floored me, okay? And there, well, what is that? See, this is out of Luke, obviously. And Luke was a physician, and he was really detailed in his account, in his gospel. Okay, really, really detailed. And it's not like he was like saying, hey, buddy, hey, pal, give me something to start this little story about the lepers. This was important, and that's why he put it in there. Okay, what are you talking about? Right here, on the way to Jerusalem. Do you understand what's going on here? Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, is on his way to be nailed to a tree. He's going to lay down his life for us at that moment. That's what he's working toward right now. So in reality, we could go ahead and go start eating, because this is really where it's at right here. You say, well, I don't, you know, my life ain't where I think it should be, so I don't have a lot to be thankful for. And Paul, you can't judge me because you can't walk a mile in my shoes. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what kind of hurts and pains, okay, that I have to deal with. You don't know how hard it is for me to try to put gas in my car. Fill in the blank. I get it. I understand it. But look right here. On the way to Jerusalem, the Son of God, you hear what I'm saying? The Son of God, the Messiah, the second man of the Trinity, was heading to Jerusalem to lay down his life for you and for me. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. There's no reason in the world why we should not be the most thankful people on the planet. Okay? Because so much has been done for us. For God so loved the world, he died for all humanity. Okay, but not everybody is going to come and know that saving grace. But guess what? Guess what? If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're going to heaven. So let's give him some praise this morning. We all have a reason to praise him. And you know what? He didn't skirt around it. He didn't try and put it off. He went to Jerusalem because that was his destiny. And now look, this is one of those things that we've heard a lot. But I want to say it, and I want you to think about it, okay? When he was on that cross, you were on his mind. That's amazing, man. I mean, think about that. He loved you so much, Dwayne. There it is. Woo, there it is. His shirt says Jesus paid it all. But listen, man, when he was on that cross, he was thinking about you. That's what kept him on that cross. Amen? So I just want us to cultivate this morning an attitude of thanksgiving. Amen. That we really can be excited about this and let it change the atmosphere in your homes and in your hearts. Amen. Okay, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So he was in this area that butted up into Samaria. I don't have to go into a lot of detail because most of you already know the situation, but the Samaritans and the Hebrew people hated each other. They did not like each other, okay? And Jesus came to destroy all the... One of the things he came to destroy was racial prejudice, okay? And he deals with it head on with the Samaritan woman at the well and all sorts of stuff. In the Gospels, he shows us Christians have no place in their hearts, should have no place in their hearts to be prejudiced towards any other person. Amen? So let that just sink in. Hold it. That's food for thought, whatever. No extra charge for that one. Okay? But see, here's the deal. The Samaritans were considered half-breeds, okay, because they intermarried with other people and there's with other nations, and there's a big, long story behind that that you can read up on. But they did not like each other at all. They both had different places where they worshipped. The Samaritans believed in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, but they didn't believe in the prophecies or the book of the prophets, although they did believe in a Messiah. They did believe that the Messiah was going to come, but they just had different ways of worshiping. They didn't like each other. Everyone say they just didn't like each other. They didn't have a real reason not to like each other, but that's how prejudice works, isn't it? People are different. People see things different. But God so loved what? You sure it ain't so for God so loved just the white people? No, the world. The world, amen. So anyways, let's move forward. But this is the situation we're getting into in this story this morning. Okay, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Okay, so let's talk about lepers for a second. They stood at a distance because of the Levitical law, the law of Moses, they couldn't get close to other people. Okay, so leprosy was some nasty business, man. Okay, and so what they had to do is they were supposed to wear their clothes tattered and their hair unkept. So at a distance, you could see, hey, that's a leper, all right? You stay over there, I'm going to stay over here. Plus, they covered their mouth like this, and they would scream, unclean, unclean. That's what they had to say. So it's no wonder they stay at a distance. It's no wonder they stay out of the village because they weren't allowed to come around folks like that. They always kind of stayed around the outskirts and stuff like that. Y'all with me so far? Yeah. Leprosy is a long-term death sentence. Okay? Back then, okay, your life was miserable, and it got harder and harder and more difficult until you finally just didn't wake up one day, okay? Your digits would fall off, and your nerve endings would get all messed up, so you wouldn't realize certain things, and you cut yourself, it gets infected. There's all sorts of things bound up in leprosy. We can all just say right now, thank the good Lord, we don't have leprosy. Go ahead and say it. Hey, man, I'm thankful I ain't got leprosy. You know what I mean? We all have a reason to be thankful, okay? And that's one of them. Okay, so anyways, 10 folks have leprosy. And it's a mixture of people that are hanging out here because of the jurisdiction of the location of this village. It's close to Samaria. And so these lepers, we know there's at least one Samaritan. There could be more, but it's a mixture between Hebrews and Samaritans. Okay, and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, like I said, Luke is really in-depth. He was a medical doctor. And Luke was a Gentile, and he's writing this book to Gentile Christians to document, to show that Jesus Christ is God. Amen? So, which all the Gospels do that, but where John would say rabbi or another Gospel would say teacher, okay, Luke says master a lot. He's showing you this man is God. This man is the Messiah. Are you with me so far? Okay, so, and lifted up their voices, because that's what they did. Hey, because they couldn't get close. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. No doubt they'd already heard the talk about this guy, this teacher, this rabbi that was doing these amazing things. Okay, and they're just waiting to die. They're on the outskirts of the village, man, because they can't really get in there. They can't get close to people. They're hoping and praying, you know, that some family member of one of these guys is going to come and give them some food or something. They couldn't work. They couldn't be around folks. And then, just like in your life, here comes the Messiah one day. You know, there he is. You didn't expect it, but boom, there he is. And they see him, and they're like, Master Jesus, have mercy. Have pity on me. They knew he could do something. They heard the stories. Amen? When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Okay, so we're talking about a lot of history today. Okay, but see, here's the deal. If you got cured of leprosy, you had to go show yourself to the priest. And the priest was going to examine you, and that was a big, long process, okay? He would examine you, and he would say whether or not you were cleansed or not. Okay, now, if you read your scriptures in the Bible, nobody just gets healed of leprosy. Like, oh, man, wow, okay, that works, you know? That soap my wife bought me really works. Wow, you know what I mean? Man, I don't know why. Well, I'm going to go. Honey, I'll be back later. I got to go show myself to the priest. And it didn't work like that. Once you had leprosy, you were an outcast. You couldn't be around your family. You couldn't even kiss them goodbye or none of that. Okay. That's how it works. So when we see when people are healed of leprosy in the Bible, it's because of God. It's always because of God. So we can look at it like this. One of the jobs a priest had would be to examine you and say, hey, you're clean. You're cleansed of leprosy. Now, I don't think they had someone assigned to do that all day long, every day, 7 days a week. That didn't happen a lot. You know what I mean? Okay. But anytime anyone was ever cured of leprosy, it was because of God. Okay. So that's why this was set up. Okay. Now, here we go. Jesus says, they're screaming, have mercy, have mercy. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Go ahead, go show yourself to the priest. Now, anytime in Scripture, here's how the miracles happen in Scripture as far as healings and stuff like that. What does it take from you? Does it take something from you? It takes your faith, right? And the Lord has given us all a measure of faith. We've all been born with a measure of faith. And the more time we spend with Jesus and we read about miracles and we talk to our Christian friends and we see how God has been faithful to them, our faith begins to grow. It should be growing, right? Okay, it takes us standing on the Word of God. It takes us trusting in God for those miracles. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what the Bible says, and that's what I see in the Bible. And now let me just say this. Sometimes it'll take people praying for you. Sometimes it'll take other people's faith to get you out of the doldrums or get you into a better place. But it always takes faith. It always takes trusting in the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay, cool, cool, cool. Okay, so he says, go show yourselves to the priest. You don't go show yourself to the priest, Kevin, unless you think you're cleansed, unless you think you're healed. Okay, you're just wasting everybody's time. All right, but what do they do? 10 lepers start walking off. Who knows if they talked amongst themselves for a little while, for a second or two? Who knows? But 10 of them start walking off. Now, in the Old Testament, there was this guy named Nahum. Yeah, I think it was Nahum, who had leprosy really bad. And he went to go see this mighty prophet named Elisha. Okay. And he goes and he brings a bunch of silver and gold, and I'm paraphrasing, a bunch of stuff to bless this guy Elisha if Elisha can heal him. Well, Elisha says, okay, go dip in the Jordan. And this dude, Nahum, is like, dip into Jordan? That water's nasty. There's beautiful rivers back in my hometown. I don't want to jump in that water. He was expecting some hocus pocus, throwing sprinkle dust and hit you in the knees 4 times and close your eyes and jump up and down. And boom. See, the Lord works in mysterious ways. But see, even Nahum had to exercise his faith. He had to go get in that water and do what the Lord said. And when he did that, he came up healed. Okay, so these lepers, they go, show myself to the priest, missing arms. And Bill, is that your nose? Do you want that? You know, leprosy was nasty. I mean, it was a bad deal, man. there was this preacher lady. I'm not going to say her name or anything like that. But she had a lifelong dream to minister to lepers. And she found herself in one of these countries where leprosy was still very live and active. And so she makes her way to this compound. And she's excited. Man, I'm going to minister to these lepers just like Jesus did. This is going to be awesome. And as she got there, I do not wish to make anybody queasy, okay? But she said the stench was overpowering before she got there because of this rotting flesh and everything. And then when she saw some of them, it's not that she didn't have love in her heart, and it's not that she wasn't prepared. It was just overwhelming to her to where she didn't even go in there, and it still bothers her that she couldn't do it because she was so concerned that she would lose her lunch or whatever in front of these people and hurt their feelings. I said all that to say these guys looked really bad off, and they smelt really, really bad. How many of you guys know that's what sin looks like to the Lord? That's how we look in our unsaved, our unrepentant stage, okay? All you are is filthy rags wrapped around a bunch of festering, nasty leprosy. What I mean by the rags is you might be able to fool some people. You might be able to fool grandma. You might be able to fool your mama and stuff like that. But if someone goes to mess with them little rags, guess what? It's going to smell really, really bad. And you're going to see that it's rotten and it's dying and it's decaying under there. Okay, so this is us before we've accepted Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what we look like. Okay, so any old hoot and holler, you know you can lose weight going back and forth like that for who knows how long I do it, but I got me a little trench going here. I got me a little game trail. Anyway, y'all getting anything out of this? Okay, so what are we talking about? Leprosy, okay. And, okay, that's what sin looks like. And lifted up their voices, da-da-da. They went to the priest. Did we talk about that? Yeah, they're going to the priest. Now, the Samaritans, they would have to go to Mount Gerizim. That's where their temple was, okay? They didn't go to the temple in Jerusalem. That's one of the things that separated them. They had two separate places of worship. They both said, this is the special place. Okay, but if you remember, when Jesus was talking to another Samaritan person, the woman at the well, right, in Samaria, he says, and this is paraphrased because I ain't going to look it up, she brings that up. Jesus is like, Jesus is reading her mouth. He's like, you've been married 5 times and you're living with somebody right now saying you need Jesus. You need to come to Christ. You need to repent. You need a relationship with Jesus, you know. And she changes the subject real fast. Like, you know, you ever been in that situation where someone doesn't want to hear what you're saying? Like, well, did you hear about the Cubs? They won the World Series, you know, but she's like, well, you Jews say you worship in Jerusalem, and we say we worship on this mountain. And Jesus says the time's coming and is now here when we worship in spirit and in truth. See, we worship at the feet of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It ain't about where you're at. You can worship the Lord in your shower. You can worship the Lord in your car. You can come to know Jesus at the dog track. I mean, you know, whatever. Right? Any place. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's not about a locale. But that was what they had to do. The Samaritans would have to go to Mount Gerizim. I think I'm saying that right. Whatever. Anyways, so here we are. And as they went, they were cleansed. So they go off towards the priests. And as they're walking, you know, imagine old boy that didn't have some fingers. All of a sudden, it's like, ooh, feels a little tickly. What's going on? Ooh, I believe I can fly. You know what I mean? I mean, just imagine how excited you would be. You know what I mean? I forgot how bad I missed these fingers. But here they are. Look, my sock puppet collection. I cannot believe I got rid of them. You know, you'd just be so stoked. You'd be so excited. You know, maybe they didn't notice themselves at first. You're like, I thought your nose fell off yesterday. Man, that's so shiny. It's perfect. Wow. Wow, but they all get healed as they go. They're exercising their faith. They knew enough about this teacher, this rabbi, this miracle working to know, hey, if he said it, I'm going to do it. And as they went, they were healed. You know, but there's that one guy, that Samaritan, that turns back and he runs to Jesus. Okay, it's on the monitor there. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. This leper right here was full of thanks. Amen? Now, only one of them turned back. And, well, why would any of them turn back? Because Jesus said, just go show yourselves to the priest. So they were obeying Jesus. And imagine this. You know, like I said, they couldn't be around their families. So imagine if they did have kids, if they did have a mate, you know, whatever, you know, I'm going to go see my best friend. I got to go get this temple thing out of the way. I got to do that, start this process. Then you know what? I get to go back into society because the Bible says, the Levitical law said, hey, get cleansed. Then you're back in. Man, so imagine how excited they are. I can maybe have all this stuff back again. You know what I mean? Just imagine how excited my wife's going to be or my kids. Be like, hey, daddy's home. Woohoo. You know, so they're excited about that. But one guy, an outsider who didn't fit in, you know what I mean? He's like, that can wait. That can wait. I'm going to do that because that's what the law requires. I got to go do that. Like I said, Samaritans did believe in the first five books. And I'm talking about Levitical laws first. It's in the first five books. Okay. But see, I believe this is where it really got exciting for me, because I really believe that at that moment when he was healed, he realized that this was not just a rabbi, that this was not just a mighty prophet, because they were praising the Lord. All of them were praising the Lord. But if you read the Gospels, miracles would happen, and a lot of people would praise the Lord, Shane. A lot of people would get stoked up, but not a lot of people were really devoted to Jesus Christ. Not a lot of people were coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they were giving God glory. Does that make sense this morning? But this one guy, I believe he realized this is the Messiah. That's him. That's who we've been looking for. That's who I've been waiting for all my life. You know, he was in a hopeless situation, and all of a sudden the world is his proverbial oyster again. You know what I mean? Man, I can go do this. I can go do that. You know what I mean? So he's stoked, and he runs back. And I'm going to try and prove that point to you. I'm not just making this up. But he runs back, and he throws himself on the feet of Jesus. See the humility there? Okay. Let me see. How can I word this? It shows that he was really, 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 really thankful. Really, really thankful. See the humility? He throws himself down. The other guys just go do what they were told to do. Let me just keep moving before I get... I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but are you guys okay? You getting anything out of this? Okay. So anyways, then Jesus answered, and he fell on his face. See that right there? At Jesus' feet. See the humility there? Giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Let's talk about that for a second. He was a Samaritan. He was an outsider. You see, the Hebrews thought that they were saved, that they were in the family. Okay? They had this thing that they were of the seed of Abraham, that they were children of Abraham. So it's kind of like, hey, I'm in the family. Okay? So I'm kind of good. You know what I mean? Let me just say it to you like this, okay? And I just want to bring this point out. Your mom and daddy might have went to church. They might have been saved folks. You see what I'm saying? But we all have to have our own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't have grandchildren, because Jesus told some folks, he's like, if you don't praise me, okay, I can turn these rocks, I can turn these pebbles into children of Abraham. Okay? God wants relationship with his people. Does that make sense this morning? Because what did he say to those folks? He said, okay, you're in that bloodline. Okay, but your father's really the devil. You see what I'm saying? Either you love the Lord or you don't. You're not just saved just because you're a Hebrew. Does that make sense this morning? So maybe their minds were 1,000 miles away, just so excited that they were healed already. Maybe it wasn't their chief concern that, hey, they just might have met with the Messiah. Are you with me? But they were just stoked. But one guy, an outsider who was not in that family line, realized, I believe, this is the Messiah. And he makes a V-line back to this man and begins to worship him. Amen? Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Think about that for a second. Talking about being thankful. Okay. 10 people were screaming out, right? Master, Master, have mercy. And that's how we are a lot, right? Every single one of us sometimes we're like, God, I really need you to move. God, I need a miracle by next Friday. And we can get loud about it, and we can get serious about it. But notice only one of them got loud and saying, thank you. You know what I mean? And that really speaks a lot to me, because I'm not always in that little 1% or the 10% rather. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times I get blessed by the Lord and I won't even mouth the words or think the words, thank you. You know what I mean? But it's more than just saying thank you. That should be on our hearts, right? That should be the language that Christians speak. That should be our language. We should have that attitude all the time. Why? Because we're saved, man. We've been blessed so much. We're the most blessed people on the face of the earth. But this one leper, he gets it. You know, when he comes running back. Okay. Then Jesus answered, we're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? So Jesus expects us to be a thankful bunch of folks, and we should be the most thankful bunch of folks. But, you know, Jesus notices when you ain't thankful. He takes notice of that. I've been there for you. I've done all these things. I've blessed you with so much provision. And where's the thank yous from? Where's your heart? You know, your kids, when they're not thankful, does that make you feel great? Think about it. Amen. And he said to him, now this is cool. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now this is why I think that this guy, this Samaritan, realizes that that Jesus, that teacher, that rabbi, is the Messiah. Because that where it says your faith has made you well, that well translates to whole. Not cleansed, not like, okay, 10 people got physically healed. One guy got made whole. One guy realized who he just met with. One guy wasn't just focused on, ooh, my life just got better now. Ooh, because we get like that sometimes. Man, God just blessed me. And we don't even think about it sometimes. But this guy realizes, man, that was the Son of God. That's the Messiah. That's who they've been talking about. I got to go back. And he throws himself at his feet and worships him. Amen. And Jesus says this. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Go see the priest. Go do what you got to do. Your faith has made you well. You've been made whole. He's been made whole. 10 people got blessed. One dude just received salvation. Amen. So we'll see this guy. This isn't a parable. This really happened. We'll see this guy in heaven. Isn't that cool? Turn to, I never told you to go to the next slide. Skip the next slide or move forward. It's a slide with Matthew on it. Yeah, go there. Okay, here we go. This is how we got to be. This is the big thing. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Isn't that cool? This pearl merchant gets it. He understands it. Let me explain this a little bit. Dude goes around buying pearls. That's his business. He buys pearls. He sells pearls. You know? But then he finds this one pearl, the most beautifulest. Everyone say the most beautifulest. Amen. He finds this special pearl, this pearl of great value. And he says, all this other stuff I've accumulated, all these other pearls, I don't need them no more. This is everything to me. Sometimes we've accumulated a lot. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we carry baggage around, you know what I mean? So we're not so, even though we have that pearl of great value, we put it in our bag with a bunch of other little pearls, like our depression, our discouragement, our hurts, our dreams that have eluded us, or whatever. And all these things can keep us from being thankful. Jesus doesn't want to be one of many pearls. He's the pearl of great value. He should be everything in our lives. He's definitely got to be number one. Amen? Can I get a witness? But we carry around all this stuff, and they look shiny because, you know, I've accumulated this. I worked hard at this. And it's okay to have things, but like I said last week, I think we can't let these things have us. You know, what I mean by that, if we're so caught up in wanting things and physical things and building up all this sort of thing, we can keep ourselves from being grateful by thinking, okay, I need one more of these. I got to get one more. I got to get this. And then I'm going to be thankful, but my life is miserable until this happens. Does that make sense? It happens, man, right? Right? Or, you know, one of those pearls that looks shiny because our hurts can be pretty valuable because that's the only thing we have left from some situations. All I have is my pain. That's all I got, and you ain't getting it, Jesus. I was done wrong, and you can't have it. I'm not giving you forgiveness. That's all I have is to hold this over you. Are y'all with me? And these are nasty little pearls, man. They're not even pearls at all. You know what I mean? But we hold on to these things, and Jesus is in the middle of this bag. He shouldn't be mixed up in all that. He's the one great thing. So when he's the one true good thing in our life, the most purest thing. Y'all with me? So when we get him, we should be like, hurts, boom, rejection, boom, unforgiveness, boom. My desire to have every single Batman comic book in the world doesn't. That's pretty important. Yeah, but it can't be the big thing, right? If it happens, it happens. You know what I mean? But see, those things can keep you from being grateful. Because our natural state, we're selfish. Let's face it, we're selfish. It's about me. It's about me, right? Well, see, if we don't push that junk down, if we don't put that flesh man down by standing on the Word of God, by praying and all that sort of jazz, that flesh man is going to want to make you even more and more selfish when we ain't supposed to be selfish. And that selfishness makes us awful greedy. And it just turns into a big, nasty mess, doesn't it? Because this didn't work out for me. I didn't get what I wanted. So that selfishness can turn to bitterness. And that bitterness can mess up your whole family. Does that make sense this morning? And then we have a Christian as bitter, and no one likes hanging out with Bitter Bill. Do we have a Bill in here this morning? I got in bad trouble before for saying something that was someone's name and it wasn't them, and Lord have mercy. Ugh, you got to watch that sort of thing. Anyways, if there's a Bill in here, I didn't mean nothing. But man, you ruin people's days. Your kids are freaked out to be around you because you're all bitter, right? When God says, "I want you to be thankful," you're messing up your witness. You're miserable, you know. See, we got to give it to the Lord, right? What He has done for us is amazing. What He has done for us is so much more better than what you deserve, right? We've all blown it. We've all blown it, but He sent His Son to die for us, man. We need to be thankful. We need to give Him glory every day of our lives, right? Amen. God is good. Oh, look, 1 Thessalonians. Let's talk about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's God's will for your life, to be thankful. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened to you, we have a reason to be thankful. If you can't think of any, think about the fact that you've been saved. You've been bought at a price. Amen. Now, your sins have been washed away. And the more you focus on that, the more He'll show you all kinds of reasons that we can be grateful, we can be thankful. Look at the Psalms, man. Psalms 100, Psalms 107. Man, there's so many reasons to be thankful, to give the Lord praise. The Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. And think about that, dude. He went through some hard times, man. He went through some really hard times, some lot of persecution. He got stoned, not like stone, like stone, but like, I don't remember reading that in the Bible. No, man. They stoned him with rocks to where they thought he was dead. They dragged him out of the town. And you know what? He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." His life was hard. He was shipwrecked like, what, 4 times or something like that? And set adrift at sea for like a day and a night. I mean, some of us would be like, "I'm done with this Christian church thing." You know what I mean? Nothing good's coming out of this, man. I'm on a boat. I've been stuck in a hurricane for 14 days. I get on the beach after I almost drowned. They want to kill me before I can jump off the boat because I'm a prisoner. And I don't even need to be a prisoner. I was just talking about Jesus. And I swim to the shore, okay? And I get to the shore, and I'm getting firewood because I'm cold and it's raining. And a snake bites me. I'm done. I don't want to go to church no more. He don't do that. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, y'all didn't know what I was going to do. But we should, man. We really, really should, because your life ain't been as hard as the Apostle Paul's. Not by a long shot. You know what I mean? And he was encouraging all kinds of folks. You know, and when he'd write his letters, like writing letters to churches, I thank the Lord for you guys. You guys are such an encouragement to me. I'm so proud of you. Like, he was a thankful man. But see, when we're really thankful, no matter what situation we're in, that's going to lead to blessings, man. That's going to lead to provision. That's going to lead to all kinds of things that the Lord has to hold back sometimes because you're a grumbler and a complainer. You know what I mean? I mean, not you, but me, really. I'm talking about me. This is for me today, not you guys. Thanks for coming. But you see what I'm saying, right? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's God's will, that we're thankful. You know what I mean? You don't want people to turn the other way when they see you coming down the hallway, you know, or you're at the office at work, and you're like, oh, there's that dude, man. Whoa, and they turn the other way, right? Yeah, you've done it before. What did you say, John? You got to be a joyful Johnny. Joyful John. You got to be a joyful Johnny. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Go ahead to Psalms 107. I think it's on the next slide. Okay, look at that. Psalms 107 and verse 8. If you're not already there, you ain't turning fast enough. I'm just playing. Is this you guys getting fed this morning? Thankfulness is so important to our Christian walk. We want people to say, man, those folks at Victory Life Church, man, that's a thankful bunch of kids over there. Thankful bunch of folks. Okay, so Psalms 107, verse 8. I'm coming to you out of the King James Version. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So let's dissect this real fast. The psalmist here is unknown. But in this psalm, Psalms 107, this verse is repeated four times. Four times it's repeated in different parts. So it's like this. This is how it breaks down. God is good. God is awesome. God does all these awesome things. Oh, that people would praise him. Oh, that people would be thankful. God is good. God is awesome. God does all these great things. Oh, that people would praise him. Oh, that people would give thanks. Paraphrase, but you know what I'm getting at. In other words, we have gazillion, trazillions. That's what our debt is in America now. That's not a real number. I don't know, but whatever. We have a lot of reasons, uncountable reasons to give thanks to the Lord. That's what it's showing me. And then it also says, it says it like this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. In other words, a lot of his kids, a lot of his people are like the 9 out of the 10 lepers. God's doing all these awesome things in our life. He's been so good to us. We can't even begin to focus or explain how good he's been to us. But we're not really giving him thanks like we should. We kind of got that mentality, you know, I got this coming to me. I'm a king's kid. I belong to the Lord. Hey, he should have done this faster. You see what I'm saying this morning? We can get like that. We're used to getting things our way in this country. You know what I mean? I can make a loud enough noise. My mom and my daddy's going to give me what I want, right? And that's the whole reason, right? We'll stop being grateful, stop being thankful because I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted, when God's trying to mature us and grow us up. You know what I mean? So anyways, I see this four times in this one chapter or this one psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. There's a reason right there. He is good. Everything good you've ever experienced, every good thing you've ever seen, every good thing you ever have is from him. God is good. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hey, we serve a good God, an amazing God. No matter what's going on in your life, we are to give him thanks. We are to give him praise no matter what situation we're in. And that really should be the language or the lifestyle of the Christian. Amen? So think about that this week and every day, right? Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are worthy of our praise. Thank you, Lord God, that we are not a selfish bunch of folks. We're not a covetous bunch of folks, but we are your children, and we love you, and we praise you, and you are number one in our lives. Give us the desire to be what you've called us to be. Give us a hunger for your word, Lord Jesus. Bring us to that place where we are truly thankful, where we are the most thankful people around, Lord God, that we will praise you and worship you, and no matter what situation we are in, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody in the church said, okay, before